Good evening, everyone. Okay, tonight I'll be sharing from 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 1 through 22. And the title is David Spares the Lord's Anointed. So just a quick background. David is hiding in the caves of Ein Gedi, and due to Saul's continual disobedience, he's spending a lot of time and resources to pursue David and hunting him down. And Saul became an example of what it's like to disobey God, and he became a very miserable person. So Saul is pursuing David, and he walks into a cave where David and his men happen to be hiding. And this is the story. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 1 through 22. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, "David is in the desert of Ein Gedi." So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord, the king." When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say, 'David is bent on harming you'? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not lay my hand on my Lord, because he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. See that there is nothing in my hand to indicate that I'm guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, from evildoers come evil deeds. So my hand will not touch you. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Who are you pursuing? A dog? A flea? May the Lord be your judge, our judge, and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand." When David finished saying this, Saul asked, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And he wept aloud. "You are more righteous than I," he said. "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me." When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family." So David gave his oath to Saul. Then Saul returned home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. And we want to thank you that you desire for us to uphold your will, your sacred and holy will. And I, above all other perspectives, above all other realities that we face, that your will would be the sacred will that we hold on to for our truth and perspective and guidance in our lives. I pray that you would open our hearts tonight to understand how to trust your judgment and deliverance. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So God calls Saul in a very specific way. His father's donkeys run away, and he finds Samuel, and Samuel anoints him. And it wasn't Saul's family name, or it wasn't his gifts. He was from the smallest tribe of Israel that made his anointing special. But it was because God put his stamp on Saul. And it was his calling that was the most important, nothing else. And the people at this point in Israel, they wanted a leader. All they really needed was a leader who would lead them to God. So this is the day that Saul was anointed to become the first king of Israel. The day before Samuel came, the Lord had revealed to Saul, "Tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you will anoint him to be prince over my people. He shall save my people from the land of the Philistines, for I have seen my people because their cry has come to me." Then Samuel sat on his head and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over my people, over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people, and the Lord will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you." And at this time, God gave Saul strength to fulfill his calling. And we read from scripture that anointing actually means strength and blessing. And this is what Saul received. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9, the scripture says that when he turned back to leave Samuel, God gave him a new heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. And Saul was being equipped for his new role. God gave him a victory. The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And when he was told that Nahash the Ammonite was attacking the Israelites, his anger was greatly kindled. The dread of the Lord fell upon the people. And God gave Saul victory, and they struck down the Ammonites. And all of Israel trusted God and Saul because of this first victory. The Spirit of God was with him from the very beginning. But Saul did not guard this holy anointing in his life. He didn't take care of it. Unlike David knew it wasn't his family name, his military wisdom that helped him. It was only God. And when God began to leave Saul because of disobedience, David was chosen to play the harp. And the Lord touched Saul through the anointing that was on David's life. And the anointing with David was a theme throughout his life. When he killed Goliath, everything that he did, God was the key to his success. But Saul, on the other hand, gave it up because he refused to listen to God and kill Agag. And the moment that God left Saul, David and everyone else realized it. And he began to be a wicked king. In Samuel First Samuel chapter 24, the scripture tells us in this story that we're reading tonight, that Saul came to the sheep pens beside the road, and he saw a cave, and he went in to relieve himself. And this is where David and his men were hiding. And the men said, "Today's the day that God's giving our enemy into our hands." And David's men interpreted this moment, the fact that Saul entered into the cave, they interpreted it as a sign from God that David was supposed to kill Saul. And David's men were even trying to persuade him to kill Saul and avenge him. But David knew that this was not his role. It would be God's decision to remove Saul, not him. And in this moment, David was under pressure. He didn't kill Saul, but he cut off his robe, the corner of his robe. And as soon as David did this, scripture tells us that his conscience was stricken for having cut off the corner of the robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay a hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David sharply rebukes his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went on his way. And many of these men were on the run because of Saul, and they wanted David to kill him. But for David, rebellion against Saul was the same as rebellion against God. And David didn't want any part of it. He knew he would not be happy taking the kingship by force. He trusted God's timing. Lately, we can see a lot of protests are happening around the world. Not just lately, but it happens all the time. People wanting to convey their grievances towards our governments and express the need to fight for their rights because they feel that their voice is not being heard. And it can create a very heated debate politically when people want to have things in their own timing and when they feel that God's not moving fast enough to fight for them or that God will not judge righteously. So people, all of us, even we do it, we have to take matters into our own hands. But when we begin to take matters into our own hands, what does it say about our trust in God's righteous judgment when we force things rather than trusting in him? If David would have become king in this way, it would have caused a great damage to the nation of Israel and to God's testimony among the nations. David lived by his principle that God's will was higher than his, and he wanted to obey God. He says in 1 Samuel 26, two chapters later, when this happens again, he said to his military guide that was with him, "Don't destroy Saul. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives, the Lord himself will strike him, or his time will come, and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish." David believed that no one can kill the Lord's anointed and still be innocent. Character greatly if he sunk to Saul's level and avenged himself by murdering him. Rather than retaliate in anger and rage and out of impulsive emotion and disobey God, David chose to do something different. He chose to confront Saul with his words. When David went out of the cave at this moment, he shouted to Saul, "My master and king." And Saul looked back, and David bowed his face to the ground, and he said to Saul, "Why do you listen when people say David wants to harm you? You have seen that you were in my power, but I didn't kill you." And he held up the robe in his hand. "This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hand in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. And I said, I will not lay a hand on my Lord because he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, look at this piece of robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but I did not kill you. See my hand to indicate that I am guilty of wrong or rebellion. David didn't act out of emotion or rage or vengeance, but he chose to confront him. And we know that David was being abused by Saul, and he was innocent. And he could have, you know, just swept it under the carpet, or, you know, he could have not confronted this situation, but he knew that this was not right. And just because a person is a leader, a Christian leader, or an anointed person with a calling, doesn't give that leader the right to act without restraint. This situation was difficult for David, but it wasn't, he had to confront it. It wasn't going to go away. So sometimes confronting a situation, talking it out, it really helps in different ways. Wouldn't it have been terrible if David murdered him instead of going to confront him? And when it comes to confrontation, many people believe that it's easier to push things under the carpet and not say anything when there are issues that need to be addressed. We may think that issues will go away. I'd rather not say anything. But in my experience, it doesn't work that way. So I just like to share a story. I had a friend who I was having interactions with and repeatedly having misunderstandings and getting hurt. And I found myself sometimes not saying anything about the things that she was saying and doing that was hurting me. And eventually it caused me to pull back from the relationship. And she responded to my distance by doing the same. We both felt hurt and disappointed. And when I finally felt that the situation needed to be dealt with instead of being ignored, I decided to talk about it, to have the difficult conversation. I began to point out to her that I felt to be unhealthy behavior in the way that she was acting towards me. And I noticed how it felt when she took out her anger on me. Person listened, and I felt heard and assured after having shared my thoughts. And the issue was not what I thought, it was something else. Suddenly there was more of a freedom in our relationship when we stopped burying issues that were affecting us negatively because we weren't talking about it. And I realized that the friend's issues were affecting all her other relationships because she was doing the same thing to them. And it was also good for me to learn to confront and talk it out. And by having this conversation and calling out the truth, God was brought into the relationship and his righteous judgment was there to reveal the truth. And there's a saying, you know, if you don't talk it out, you will act it out. And when you confront a situation, it brings God's righteousness into the situation. It takes the burden off of you. Rather than carrying the burden all by yourself, God says that when they begin to confront the people in their lives who have abused them by speaking the truth and questioning and standing up, light and God's judgment enters into the situation, bringing revelation and comfort and freedom. Though the abuse is still painful, God's righteousness comes in and the burden is he bears it. Instead of taking revenge on your abuser and acting out of anger, frustration, and even committing a crime even, we trust that God will punish the abuser. We don't punish them. And this was a situation that David found. He was involved in a struggle between being abused by Saul and speaking the truth. But deep in his heart, David wanted to be loyal to King Saul, but he also wanted the truth and God's judgment to come in. If David would have acted on his impulse, his character would have been greatly affected. He's a high-ranking military leader, and many people know him. And if he would have taken the opportunity to overthrow the existing king by killing him in the cave, it would have been an act of treason. David would begin his kingship in murder, and the ramifications on Israel's history would have been great. God's name would have been defamed throughout the nations, and rebellion would enter into the house of David. There were other kings in Israel's history who rose to power through manipulation and ruthless killing, and David did not want any parts of it. He did not want to dishonor God in this way. Deep down, he did not want to rebel against Saul. Deep down, even though he was tired and his men were pressuring him, they were tired. He did not want to be disloyal to Saul. He loved Saul. He even called him father. And David prostrated himself on the ground and was heartbroken over Saul's sin and the way he was chasing him. David knew it wasn't his place to make Saul suffer. He trusted God would judge who was right and God would defend him in the right time. David, because he was able to have this discussion and tell Saul how he felt, he was placing all his vengeance and giving it to God instead of keeping it himself. And he realized that being loyal didn't mean that Saul could do whatever he wanted to do. David could speak and stand on God's truth and say, I will allow God to be my comfort, even though you choose to disobey God. I'm not going to do the same thing you did. And he continued with Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 24, 13. He said, as the old saying goes, from evil doers come evil deeds, so my hand will not touch you. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Who are you pursuing? A dead dog, a flea? May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand. And David was saying, I will find my comfort in God judging between us. God will avenge me. I don't have to sink to your level by acting like you and murdering. I will not avenge myself. I will trust God. At the same time, I will not put my trust in you. I will not return with you. What you are doing is wrong to me. And David, at this moment, David was being comforted by God. And he was trusting God that God would avenge him and he would be able to move on with his life and have success and be comforted. He wouldn't let his jealousy and anger or his vengeance destroy his life, his future, his character, his name, God's name. He would not let that happen. David was putting his life in God's hands, trusting that God would bring him comfort. And God would act on his behalf. And at this moment, Saul cried out, "Is this your voice, David, my son?" And he wept aloud. "You are more righteous than I," he said. "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family." So David gave Saul this oath. Then Saul returned home, But David and his men went up to the stronghold. Saul showed remorse and he cried. And God honored David when the truth was told. Something inside of Saul heard and knew that he was wrong. And even though Saul didn't turn after that, I'm sure that David would have felt very comforted because he allowed God to step into the situation. It didn't mean that David would go back and trust Saul after that, but he did trust God that God would avenge him and take care of him. His comfort was, God's going to take care of me, but David never compromised his character. David had always sought the will of God above his own agenda. And when a person lives like this, God changes their heart, and he made him a great king because his agenda, his power, his position, it was not about David. It was about the glory of God. And we know from reading the Psalms that David's greatest desire was to serve God. He never wanted to do anything that would be disobedient or in rebellion against God. And God honored him by preventing him from committing a murder that would have destroyed the future of, that would have destroyed David. He would have never been happy if he would have murdered Saul on that day. And God honored him and protected him, his calling and his future. David never succumbed to the power and worldliness just to attain success. He only wanted to seek God first, and God was his greatest desire. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the example of your righteous judgment that speaks and defends and delivers and heals and brings comfort in the midst of an abusive situation. God, we know that when we stand with you, you will deliver. You will deliver us in your timing. We don't have to rely on what we think is happening, our perspective, because your timing is the best timing. And God, we thank you that we can see in your word, God, that when we stand with you, you are honored and your will be accomplished in each one of our lives and in this will and your timing. We don't put our agenda above your own, our own. And God, I do pray that you would make these changes in us. As David submitted to your will, you saved him from sin. And God, we know that when we do not submit to your will, God, we end up not pleasing you and not even being happy ourselves, because you eventually will convict us, God. And I pray that we would honor you in seeking you what pleases you, to put your agenda above our own, that we would not succumb to the corruption that is in this world caused by evil desires. And we ask tonight that you would help us to be people of your word, that we would seek to understand it better, to know what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Heavenly Father, I want to praise you and thank you for your presence. We want to thank you for being with us, dear Lord, even in the season. We want to thank you for your love and your goodness, Lord, in our life. Dear Lord, even as we think about your word today, dear Lord, we just come before you, Lord, for we understand, Lord, injustice and Wickedness is a real thing, Lord, and many people suffer, Lord, because of the because of the actions of wicked people, Lord. And many people suffer because of unjust decisions, dear Lord. Even in our nation, dear God, there are so many people who are going through difficult challenges, dear Lord, because of bad leadership. And there's a lot of people who feel alienated or angry, dear Lord, simply because they are a minority group and they don't have access, Lord, to things that they should have, dear God, or they are forgotten. And many people are hurt, Lord, Father, simply because they have been treated badly by others, dear God. And dear Lord, we can only come before you, Lord, our righteous judge. Even in all those difficulties, Lord, we pray that you will be our strength, our comfort, that we will look to you, Lord, your kingdom, to protect us, to provide, to heal, and to lead us, dear Lord. Dear God, even you have called us to speak out against injustice, to speak the truth, Lord, but we pray that we will have wisdom to understand what we should take into our own hands and what we shouldn't do, dear Lord, and how we should represent you and find peace, Lord, knowing that you are in control, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we only can look to you, Lord, as the healer of all people. When you came, Jesus, you spoke to the broken, to the wounded, to the disenfranchised, to the parts of society that was condemned and neglected by others, dear God. And dear Lord, we just pray that even as we consider these things, let us heed your call, Lord, to be part of the solution and reach out to others in love, in kindness, in hope, dear Lord. Dear God, we pray that it is not power, Lord, that we will pursue, but your righteousness, your justice, your love, and your kindness, dear God. So, Lord, we pray as we are able to see, Lord, how the true King, how you, Jesus, responded to this world. We pray, Lord, that you would pour your spirit in such a way that you would guide us in your truth. We also pray, Lord, Father, for healing and also for forgiveness, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we pray, Lord, that we will not stir the anger, stir the hatred, Lord, but in our own lives and in others, dear God. But we will learn, Lord, look to them, dear Lord. We pray, Lord, Father, that we will not fall into the trap, Lord, Father, of bitterness and hatred, Lord. But in your grace, we will remain, knowing that you have called us to be your people and you know how to take care of your people, dear Lord. Dear Lord, also help us to understand the place of suffering, that in the midst of it, Lord, we are more than overcomers through Jesus Christ. And we pray also, Lord, that we will rise to be that prophetic voice, Lord, in this broken world. So, Lord, wherever we are, we pray that we will understand all these things, that you would raise us, Lord, Father, to be that light, to make that difference, Lord, in this world, in our nation, Lord, in our homes, in the places where we work, dear God. Guide us and lead us, Lord. We truly need your presence, Lord, with us. And we also ask for forgiveness, Lord, if we have forgotten, Lord, how much your presence makes a difference, Lord, in our lives. How much, Lord, the presence of the Holy Spirit makes a difference in this broken world, Lord, Father. Dear Lord, if we have neglected your word, Lord, we ask for forgiveness, Lord, because it's your word that brings life into our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that we will seek, Lord, to come under your word, to live under your anointing, dear Lord, and to recognize, Lord, the true anointed one, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Dear Lord, in the King, our Lord, our Savior, dear Lord. So lead us, Lord, Father. We pray, Lord, you continue to guard this church, to keep us in your love, to keep us in your strength, Lord Father. Let us be strong and courageous. Let us be bold, believing, dear Lord Father, that it's your spirit, Lord, that shapes us. Even in the midst of this pandemic, Lord, your will be done, dear Lord. Your glory will be declared, dear God. And we pray that we will understand the times and seasons and the opportunities that you have placed before us, Lord, and eagerly with faith, Lord, move forward, dear God, to do those things, Lord, that you have speaking to our hearts. We pray also for your protection, for your favor, for your guidance, Lord, in all things. We also pray, Lord Father, that you continue to make us that community of love, Lord, that will reflect your love in its depths, in its goodness, dear Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can come together in prayer, Lord Father. Let your blessing be upon us. We give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.